Welcome everyone to another episode of The Damage Report with me, John Arola, and joining me as always, mostly but not recently, but now once again on Fridays, Brett Ehrlich. How's it going?
Hi, my name's Brett and I am the tallest person ever to be on John's show, and he's trying to keep that information from you because he's a typical blue check and he doesn't even have $8, $8, $8.
Okay, I'm pretty sure, if I'm guessing, Jackson White is probably the tallest person I've ever had on the show. I'm not 100%
sure. Jackson White, 4'11". Brett Ehrlich,
7'2". Really?
4'11" taller. And don't let the time he was in the studio fool you into thinking he's taller than that.
That was actually three Jackson White standing on each other's shoulders inside of a big jersey.
Listen, when we took our group photo at our 20th anniversary party, I was not totally standing on my tiptoes for that. Just know that every time you see that photo, I wasn't.
It was all Brett.
Tippy toes. I am 8 feet tall, and I had everyone digitally enhanced to seem to make me seem less othered.
What it is. Anyway, we will be talking about the Twitter thing later on because I need good news. And a billionaire looking like he's gonna lose tens of billions of dollars is about as good a news as I'm gonna get today. So we've got that coming up and a whole lot more. Not only news, we've got updates on the apparently supposed impending indictment of Donald Trump coming up in the next month or so. Believe it when I see it, but we will be talking about it. Don Jr., like as a legal defense, like trumpeting his own ignorance. So that's kind of fun. Oprah finally weighs in on the Dr. Oz Senate race. We're gonna be talking about that. And if you're watching the full show in the aftermath, we will of course be throwing away our garbage people of the week. I've got a true slimy stinking pile of garbage to toss in there today. I have done everything I can to not see Brett's. It is still a secret to me, a mystery. And so I'm glad about that, Brett.
Because you're an anti-Semite. We'll get to it.
Is it Kanye? Anyway, oh, I think I might know who it is. Is it a sports thing? We'll see. We'll see if it's a sports thing. Anyway, with that said, we've got a lot of news to get into. Please hit the like button and share the stream if you haven't already. And if you want to send us any comments, tweets, or super chats, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Brett, are you ready to start the show?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it. We're normally on like the show, the first block is whatever like the biggest, most impending domestic news is. We're not doing that today, okay? We're doing something fun on a Friday, sort of. Let's jump into this. Michael Shore once again risked his sanity and potentially his physical well-being by traveling to a Trump rally and talking about that to them about a number of topics, including their belief that Joe Biden is a Satanist. He worships the devil. Now, that's a bold claim that requires bold evidence. Let's see what they've got.
You think President Biden believes in God?
No, not at all. He worships the devil.
So I say, so that and that's the difference between the two, is that one worships God and one worships the devil. And how do you see that manifested in President Biden?
It's showing.
No, I mean, I guess in what, where do you see the devil worship come out in President Biden?
All over the country, like everywhere. It's everywhere.
So I guess tell me a little bit more. I know you're saying it's all over the country. I'm just curious how, like specifically, where do you see like, oh, that's because President Biden worships the devil, that blank.
Child sex trafficking, the schools, kids, you know, it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
And do you think President Biden's responsible for child sex trafficking?
Yes.
So, sleepy Joe Biden is apparently moonlight. Maybe that's why he's so sleepy during the day, is he spends all night going out finding kids to traffic. And then, you know, he doesn't get his the 8 to 10 hours of sleep that older Americans are encouraged to get. And that's why he's so sleepy all of the time. That's probably what it is. Credit to Michael Shore for really giving that person a chance, digging deep with multiple follow-up questions. If you've ever thought, hey, I kind of like John's content, maybe it'd be fun for him to go to one of these. I couldn't do it. I could not do what Michael Shore did right there. He has a level of patience and I don't know, he can wait and give people the opportunity. And it took a couple of tries for her to go beyond everywhere everything, all of it, all is Satan. And then when she finally was required to give specifics, like what do we think all of that is based on? She, literally, like, she's seen a couple of libs of TikTok tweets. She said, trafficking, schools, kids. That's what it is. That is the evidence that was enough to finally get her to accept the unimaginable, that the president of the United States, who has masqueraded for nearly a century as a devoted Christian, worships the devil himself. Obviously, that requires a lot of evidence to get you to accept something like that. And she's got trafficking, schools, kid. What do you think, Brett?
She knows she wants a simple answer. And she knows that that is a simple answer. She doesn't know, she didn't do all the reading, is the worst part. Like, do you realize how little reading you have to do to be one of those QAnon nut jobs, and how much reading they provide for you? There's such a little portion of QAnon Satanist rabbit hole you need to go down in order to just say back what their dumb talking points are. But also, I want to say, like, what she just said is worse than what you'll see on libs of TikTok. Like, the absolute value of nuttiness and nothingness and insanity on display there, it just outweighs anything you'll see in, like, who is the craziest person with the littlest to say and the littlest to want in society to do at like a Biden rally. There's no one remotely like that. And if they call Bernie like the psycho left winger, who is the craziest person there? They have ammunition to back up their claims. But these people don't. And that's why I say, Michael Schur for Congress, baby. 2020, what is the next one? Four?
Well, sometimes it takes a while for them to count the votes. There's still time. Get out there. Count the votes. Count the votes. Now, Michael's great. The country would have been better off with him in Congress. Unfortunately, we didn't get it.
A lot of people think he's the most religious president we've had in a long time, the most God-adoring president.
Who thinks that? You've seen polls that say that? I've never seen a poll that says anything about Biden being religious. I just can't imagine that many Democrats really think, or that anyone really even would paint Biden as a Catholic. I just, that strikes me as odd. I don't know where that even idea even came from.
Well, he's been a Catholic his whole life, and he still worships in a Catholic church every week.
But in terms of being a religious man, I'm just not buying it. No, sorry.
Like, I want to be clear. I'm an atheist. I don't care whether a politician is religious. I think it would be novel to have an elected official who, like me and like many, many Americans, is not a participant of an organized religion. We don't seemingly have that, or at least there's so much stigma they can't actually come out and say that for the most part. But if that is important to you, well, Biden goes to church every week. For decades and decades and decades, Donald Trump, he once had a bunch of protesters mangled so that he could stand in front of a church and hold a Bible up upside down, which I think is a sign of the Antichrist. But again, it isn't about the reality. So the last point that I want to make on this is, and it's a thing that I have to constantly remind myself of, a bias that I stupidly bring to this sort of thing. And I think a lot of people do. It is the assumption that people believe something for one reason. That belief represents the acquisition of information, an analysis of the information, the context, and a conclusion based on it. And that is not the only reason that people believe things. It's probably not even the most likely reason that people believe things, including probably, you could probably find in my life a lot of things that I believe without good cause. I try not to have that be the case in politics, but for many people, their political beliefs are not based on them doing their best to wade through a lot of information. And if only we could get them more information, then they'd come to the right conclusions. No, very often they will believe things as a symbol that they belong to a certain group where those beliefs are considered important totems of group membership. It can be based on wanting to feel good. It can be based on pursuing emotional rather than intellectual or rational goals. And I think a lot of people assume that it's just the intellect thing. I think especially a lot of leftists who value rationality, the scientific method, education, including higher education, make that mistake of assuming that we can just provide more information. Also, by the way, not everybody on the left has to do this. When you have like Joe Rogan saying that the solution to bad speech is more speech, because if we just talk it out, then everyone will get the right information and they'll figure it all out. No, that's not actually how people figure things out. And so these people in these videos are demonstrating that they are not basing their worldview on information, and more information is not going to alter their worldview.
Yeah, I mean, welcome to the party, John. Like, I know. And it's difficult, and you just proved yourself to be someone who has faith in humanity. And I would say, complicating that, and I guess if I were to augment that, like, there are people who very obviously purport themselves to be, proponents of more speech and getting the right ideas out there, who absolutely are not. Instead, they have a goal. As I said on the show before, politics is discourse in the service of power. And they say the opposite of what they mean, or what they say just to get people to believe that the politician seeking power is on their side. And I think a lot of people, if I were to break down why people believe what they believe, I'd say one, probably their parents. If we're going to be honest about it, most people believe what they believe because their parents, either because they agree with their parents and they want to be like their parents, or they hate their parents and they don't want to be like their parents. I think more than any of this, that will, and you can prove that clinically, that that is going to inform what you believe over anything else. But the other thing people do is they, and this is related to why they believe what their parents believe, is they look around and they're like, am I happy right now? That's it. And right now could mean this era or today, if we're just talking about belief. Then they say, well, what are things like right now? And if I'm not happy with how things are right now, I am going to be mad. I'm going to believe that what the opposite of what's happening right now. And that's where the political operatives enter in and guide their resentment, their discontent toward a political faction. And that's why you see people like Lindsey Graham going up to Herschel Walker and saying, like, I can't wait to have someone like this in Congress. He doesn't want anyone like, no one wants someone like Herschel Walker in Congress, especially if you outline what Lindsey Graham himself says he wants the Congress to do, which is outlaw abortion on a national level. And Herschel Walker has paid for two. If he thinks it's illegal, he would think Herschel Walker is a murderer, no matter how much he asks forgiveness or pretends he's not. So he's already said the opposite of what he believes. And in every story, the Bible included, when people like Lindsey Graham do stuff like that, and people like Donald Trump go in and swoop up supporters based on a lie, that's the bad guy. And that's actually what Satan does, if we're gonna use their words and their framing. So the more satanic people are the ones who provably are saying the opposite of what they mean for power. That is the definition of evil, and that is the MO of the Republican Party.
Yeah. Well, well said, Brett. I appreciate that. Yeah. I want to go to just one more little bit of what Michael Shore. By the way, Brett, they put up a bunch of these videos. Are they available on Rebel HQ?
Main show, TYT.
On TYT. Okay, so you go to youtube.com/ The Young Turks, and the more extended, they did a bunch of these interviews. But there's one more section we wanted to talk about. There are some like trigger words or topics. If you bring them up in front of a Trumper and give them just a little bit of runway to get going and give you their opinions, they can reveal something about themselves that can be truly enlightening. I want to turn now to a little bit of a talk about slavery, who's responsible for slavery. If slavery is a big issue, Michael Shore talking with a Trumper right here.
You need to keep in mind too, we didn't invent slavery, we ended it. It was a really hard thing to do. I mean, we fought a civil war over it. England ended slavery just before that, but slavery existed everywhere throughout all of humanity. I mean, my ancestors are Irish. They were enslaved by the British to the tune of 1.25 million. People need God. That's what it comes down to.
Okay, so there's obviously a lot there that we can dive into. What I love though? I love
that he looks like an irradiated Kieran Culkin.
No, this isn't about this guy. I don't know who that guy is. I don't really care who that guy is. I care that a lot of Trumpers believe what he believes, but yes, he kind of does. And I do miss Succession. Anyway, I love the use of the word we. We ended it. Who the hell's we in that? First of all, it's not you and it's not me. We weren't alive then. But there were very much a lot of people in America who were not actively we trying to get rid of slavery. They were trying to continue it, actually. Could we maybe identify who those people and forces actually were? And I love the skip from we didn't invent it, we ended it. Okay, but we also did it. We did slavery for hundreds of years, many, many people, unimaginable horrific acts. What you like skipped over as if it was just an ellipses or whatever is unimaginable human suffering that you would love for us to gloss over in our education system and in our understanding that can inform politics in the same way that you glossed over it in that statement.
What do you think? Like, he is, in my opinion, Kyrie Irving. Like, and the heart of who my garbage person is, because it's not today, because it's not exactly Kyrie Irving. Okay. I'll give a little hint. It's somebody who's not smart who pretends that they are. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like the smirk, the self-satisfied, like this guy very obviously thinks he is the wisest person in the universe because he saw like one tweet about something or one Facebook post or somebody said something and he admires that person. So he just co-opted a talking point.
Yes.
That's it. And you know how I feel, yourself included, when people put a t-shirt on under a blazer. Like,
first of all,
look, bro.
There's a reason.
Or go and finish off your audition for the reboot of Miami Vice, because that is, roll it up, buddy, roll it up.
Anyway, there's a reason. I'm not gonna debate that right now. I do agree though, it's wanting to be intelligent, but not wanting to become intelligent or curious or like, it's just parroting talking points. And like copying a copy, you lose little bits and pieces every time that's like sent from one generation to the next.
It's someone telling you what, like learn your history, but they don't know it.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing about like the Kyrie, like all the people who were like, listen, I don't wanna look too deep into the history of what happened to the Jews because who could be expected to like do deep dives into ancient texts like from the History Channel? And then they're like, anyway, so if you look deep into Deuteronomy, verse 1855, like it's like no. And also that's all been debunked. Like we know the history. That's why we're like all these things like the Joe Rogans and everybody, the Elon Musks who are like, have you heard this cool new argument? I have heard that argument. It is neither cool nor new. And you pretend to be this super smart person, but the reason that we have these discussions and have had these discussions is because of the bad things that happen when we don't. But when you show up to like to the town square, as you wanna call it, trying to advance a conversation, when really the conversation is literally 100, maybe 1,000 years beyond that, I can't really respect your opinion if you come with stupid stuff like we ended slavery. He's saying the Republicans, people who became Republican, left the Democratic Party. They left for the Democratic Party to start the KKK because the slaves were freed. And then they left the Democratic Party to become the Republicans because the Democrats were for civil rights. Like they don't know the history at the same time saying learn your history.
Yes, there should be a quest for knowledge and at the very least a quest to understand to what extent you possess knowledge. You should not enter like believing that when you learn something, you're like the third person to ever learn it in history is insanity. You might be ignorant and getting rid of your ignorance is difficult, but at least be knowledgeable of what you're ignorant of. Understand your limitations. That's a form of intellectual humility that I think is far too rare in the modern era. Anyway, with that said, we will be back with more news, more discussion of t-shirts combined with blazers after this. You know, the mic's not cut out there. We're a dirty stream now. So we're gonna be disincentivized or whatever. We're gonna be shadow banned.
Perhaps Daddy Musk can save us. Let's just blaze our own
trail. It was a metaphor, I see. Okay, well, in that case, let's do that. And let's do that in this block, actually. Okay. It was announced this morning through anonymous Trump circle people that he's apparently going to be launching his bid for the presidency like less than 1 week after the midterm elections. And there's probably a few reasons that he wants to do that, but I would assume that chief amongst those is the ability to say if any indictments come his way, if any investigations continue, hey, hands off, get off my back. I'm a candidate for office. It's a nice shield. Doesn't make any sense that it should be, but that is traditionally how it's considered. And bear in mind that apparently Justice Department officials have discussed whether a Trump candidacy would create the need for a special counsel to oversee two of the many investigations. These are the federal investigations looking into him. They've been talking with CNN about this. They've apparently also been staffing up their investigations with experienced prosecutors so that they're ready for any decisions about possible indictments soon after the midterms. So he's saying, well, not he, him directly, but that'll come in like a day. His people are saying November 14th is when he would announce, which is historically very early to announce that you're running for the presidency, especially if you're not a very low tier candidate, just hoping to get out in front and get a little bit of easy press when there's no competition. For a high profile politician to announce that early is very weird. Anyway, the federal investigators apparently are considering moving on a number of different investigations in the weeks after the midterms. They could, in theory, do it before the midterms, but you can't do that because that could influence the election. And soon you can't do it after because now he's a candidate for the election. There's a lot of like fake Norm Shields, Brett, and this might well be one of his most effective going forward. We'll see.
So when it comes to holding the powerful legally accountable for anything, you must understand the difference between Newtonian and quantum physics. We live in the Newtonian real world, where there are very basic laws that govern the behavior and consequences of actions. Mm-hmm. So you, in the same way that if you drop something from 4 feet up and you know its elasticity, you know how high it's gonna bounce. You know that if you rob someone, you're gonna get prosecuted and go to jail for it because we are just normal people in the real Newtonian world. But when it comes to people in power, suddenly the rules of quantum apply, sort of, kind of. And if anyone knows about that, when you're on, you have to, you can try to bring the powerful into the real world, but there are all these weird things that don't happen. And let me explain what those are. Those things are norms. We call those no, like these weird quasi norms that John's talking about. Those are all the times when we try to find a way to apply things that everyone in the world knows about and can identify with to the powerful who do not abide by those rules on a regular basis. And so that's what I think the special counsel people are trying to figure out. How can we get him on an actual crime? And that's what people like Trump are trying to avoid with all these weird tricks and try and invoking norms like you can't lock up your political prisoners or your political opponents. You just can't do that. That's what they do in third world countries. And you know, they'll say words like third world. But in this situation, what if he is committing crimes? What am I supposed to do? You're just telling me not to lock up a lawbreaker. And that's they're trying to say, oh my God, let's preserve these norms. At the same time, that same guy has torn down so many of them, and people like him because he tears down norms like that. Why can't I tear down the norm? Like
exactly,
let that protect him.
Yeah, it is a norm to not investigate your political opponents, but it's also a norm to not try to overturn the results of an election. It's a norm to not try to overthrow the U.S. government. I would argue that's a worse norm to break, but one of the reasons this is an effective defense, at least insofar as his base is concerned, is what I just did right there, pointing out that, well, yeah, you're not supposed to investigate these people, but what if they've committed a real crime? Everyone who has wanted to investigate their opponents in the absence of a crime is, of course, going to say that there's a crime. So you can make a case that that's what I'm doing, which is effective to their base. Now, I would say that I'm actually coming with evidence of actual crimes, or at least I am knowledgeable of the evidence of actual crimes, but there's just enough of a muddying of the waters that his supporters will never accept any of this. Even though, bear in mind, as you were pointing out, they would refuse to accept that he's committed any of these crimes or is responsible for any of these things, even though at the exact same time, his fans love that he did all of these things. But he definitely shouldn't be investigated for them. So anyway, look, Merrick Garland has been spending months and months and months trying to decide if they should move on this. He works at about the same rate as George R.R. Martin at this point. Maybe he'll decide to do something about it. I don't know.
You can leave if you like your child. I always say, if you don't like, leave it to charity. Some of us have horrible children. Do you have any horrible children? Does anybody have like a child where you really are not going to leave your farm? Any farmers? No, you don't have to. Just if you don't like them, don't, you know, then what I did for you doesn't mean anything.
I understand that Trump's brain is a swirling vortex of chaos, but why he decided to start ranting about us not liking our kids. Does anybody have the one kid that they wouldn't leave their money to? That might seem random, but there might actually be something in the news that could be informing Trump's rant right there. We found out just recently that Trump's eldest son, Don Jr., said in a sworn deposition that he has next to no understanding of the generally accepted accounting principles, or GAAP, the accounting standard adopted by the US SEC. The judge, so this is going to play into a judicial decision that's not what Trump wanted, but the judge goes on to say, furthermore, the record is replete with evidence that Donald Trump Jr.'s statement that we have not knowingly withheld pertinent information is blatantly false. So during this deposition, Don Jr. Is not able to convince the judge that he's not actively lying about a number of things being investigated and tries to use as a defense that he doesn't know anything about this business stuff. And that is important because those statements and him not reassuring the judge apparently played into the decision that's just been handed down by New York Supreme Court Judge Arthur Engoron that is now going to appoint an independent monitor to ensure there's no further fraud at the Trump Organization, restricting its ability to freely make deals, sell assets, and change its corporate structure while an investigation into a variety of different forms of fraud takes place. That deposition was part of a process that in theory could have stopped this from happening, but Don Jr. flubbed it so bad that now there's going to be someone looking over their shoulder. So this is in regards to a lawsuit that you've probably heard about on Truth Social with Trump bleeding constantly about Peekaboo James and things like that. Anyway, So New York's attorney general alleges Trump and the Trump Organization misled banks and others about the values of prized assets, including golf courses and hotels bearing their name. And so now their ability to try to avoid some of this judgment, conceal information, potentially engage in a variety of forms of business that they'd like to, might be constrained in no small part thanks to the assist from Don Jr.
Yeah, and is it Eric or Don Jr. or both that he hates? Like which one?
I mean,
I think both of them are wildly incompetent. One is like
he works more with Don Jr., but Don Jr. is also more needy on social media. Like he talks at least a couple times a year about how sexy his dad is, and that may push Daddy Trump away. I don't know.
Just the sweaty coke haze that he's always in on the internet. I don't know, but then every video I've ever seen of Eric Trump is like, why are you so mean to my dad? He can't handle it. He's getting destroyed out there. Like they're both bad. He only likes Ivanka, maybe Tiffany, definitely Barron. I think he actually does like Barron. Mm-hmm. But like, it's so sad. And I think it's a false to assume that there's only one child that he hates. I will also say that that was a funny bit. I think that was a funny bit. So I think that if you're looking for reasons people like Trump, like that's a conversation people have with a person that sounded like a person.
Well, and I would give him, you might be giving him credit for the comedy or the charisma. I'll give him credit for him talking to a bunch of people who don't have 0.2% as much wealth as him, and in using that joke, get them to support an annihilation of the estate tax. That's actually what he's talking about right there.
Right, but those farmers do qualify typically for the estate tax.
If they have millions of dollars, yes.
No, if their farmland is worth money, like
potentially if it's worth millions of dollars.
That's the difference. That is the people that are in play. The people in play are small business owners. The people that in play are exactly that. And Donald Trump is a small business owner pretending to be a large business owner. So in those situations, he wins that 100%. He's like, don't you not want to pay your taxes? Don't you think the IRS is out there to rob from you? And then that's why they say, oh, that's why they lean into falsehoods. Like they just hired 88,000 IRS agents. Small business owners, and that I mean everyone from a farmer who has had land in their family for many years and is getting pushed out by big farming. Those people still qualify for the estate tax. That's why he's saying what he's saying to those people. That is good, smart politics. But
not all farmers. Some farmers with assets in the millions of dollars apply. I just don't want us to play into a narrative that the right has been advancing for literally decades, where everybody who has a duck is going to be affected. That's not who Trump actually cares about. He cares about massive farming corporations that are worth hundreds of millions or billions of dollars.
I would say he doesn't care about either of those people.
Well, his policies will benefit them 100 times more than some random person who's had some real estate.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. Go ahead.
Well, no, you quick final point, and then we're gonna go on to another area where maybe you'll agree with me. We'll see.
I also think that it's hilarious that Donald Trump Jr.'s excuse is either that he's stupid or that he's evil. And there is everyone would be hard pressed to find the actual reason, though I'm pretty sure he's stupid evil.
Yeah, look, I would assume that he is generally pretty stupid and definitely stupider than he thinks it is. But I would also assume, do you agree or disagree? He probably knows more of the technical business stuff that you're supposed to learn than Trump does? Or no, do you not think so?
He knows way less. He knows way
really,
less
you think,
of those.
See, I would assume that he knows more. Okay.
No. If you hear Trump talk in those conversations about stuff that loses the room when he talks about what it takes to run a business, when they just get confused, all of that stuff I've heard across, I have a lot of friends who have small businesses. They sound exactly like him. And they all talk about their payroll. And it is the people on the left who have no knowledge of that lingo that endears you to a group of people and signals that you're part of that group. That's what payrolls? Trump's amazing at. That's why he's really good at bringing, as I said on your show for half a decade, this dude knows how he's a truffle pig for stuff people complain about around a water cooler. And he complains about it in that way. And the way that he offhandedly says windmills cause cancer, it's stupid. But it's also the kind of stupid that people, when they're having a conversation, when they're complaining, don't really care about. They all know that they're just kind of being pissy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll return to that again. I just want to briefly make sure that people know about this. And it is, again, an area where I think you might agree with me. So let's jump into this. Almost on the same day that Donald Trump's sources imply that he will be announcing his bid for the presidency in just a couple of weeks, the watchdog group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington are vowing that they are going to challenge his eligibility to run for the presidency. The president of CRU, Noah Bookbinder, says, should you seek or secure any future elected or appointed government office, including the presidency of the United States, we will pursue your disqualification under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment based on your engaging in the insurrection that culminated on January 6th, 2021. The way I say the evidence that Trump engaged in insurrection is overwhelming. We are ready, willing, and able to take action to make sure the Constitution is upheld and Trump is prevented from holding office. They've tried to get a response from Trump. He has not yet responded. And I would say Cruz, good group. They're perfectly free to do this. One might even argue that they have an ethical obligation, considering the mission of the group to try to do this. And Trump definitely did participate in the insurrection. It was, after all, his insurrection. That said, my guess would be this has -3% chance of working. And I think that he's broken a lot of laws. He should be indicted for those things. He should suffer consequences for those things. I think that that has at least a chance of working, and that is a better road to go down than just a lawsuit disconnected from criminal charges that would say you don't get to run. I would say that if you are worried about the political ramifications of any of this, this is the one that seemingly produces the most martyrdom for Donald Trump, even in comparison to the others, which also would be interpreted as making him a martyr. But what do you think, Brett?
Yeah, they'll definitely make him a martyr. If you're gonna do something like this, you have to frame I would say you probably have the obligation to frame it as responsibly, given your actual goal versus your stated one. They probably can't coincide. But if you want this, it isn't gonna work. Even calling it an insurrection makes it sound cool. It was a coup attempt. It was an attempt at the overthrow of America, an attempt to end America. They attempted to end the country that day. Revelations from the January 6th committee prove that he had such a direct involvement in it that even I, who am very cynical about all this stuff, even I had moments where I said, might be legally actionable, but I don't know the exacts of the law. But I think you could convince people that he is actually like, this guy tried to end the United States of America and turn it into the divided states of Donald Trump. But you have to have, I like that they're going after him in this way. Somebody has to, they just have to do it the right way.
Exactly. Yeah, and we already know that this didn't work in their attempt to stop Marjorie Greene. And I think a judge would be even less likely to apply it to someone more influential and powerful like Donald Trump. In any event, super fast final point, we gotta go to break.
The things that are interesting to me about it that are worth pointing out are like when the new attempt from Ben Shapiro and crew to use the same kind of tool in this new instance as they have in the last instance. They had been saying that like, oh, whenever anything happens, the Democrats call you a racist. Now they're saying whenever anyone's running for political office, this is from Ben Shapiro, their new thing to say is it threatens democracy. Like just because I say things a lot doesn't mean they're false. I say good morning to people every day. I say it every day because I want to wish them a good morning. I'm not being a poo farm. I'm just doing that.
That is true. You might still be a poo farm, but not for that specific reason. With that said, we got to take a break. We come back. We're going to check in on a few recent endorsements in the run up to the midterms. We'll have that for you after this. There's a lot of messages we haven't gotten to. We're gonna hopefully do so in the future. But anyway, the IT Dragon gifted 4 subs over on Twitch. Very nice of you. Thank you very much for that. And with that, why don't we move into our next topic? There's less than a week until the midterms, just enough time to get in a few last minute endorsements. And Kanye West has thought long and hard to the extent that he's capable, and he has decided to do an endorsement in the Georgia Senate race. I wonder who it's gonna be for. Herschel Walker. He put up a post saying Herschel Walker is on Instagram. That's the platform he's still on, saying pro-life. Now that in our production meeting, I tried to figure that out because it's ridiculous for him to vote for Herschel Walker for being pro-life considering all the scandal. So I have to assume that those are disconnected words. You'll notice there's no hyphenation. He was a pro football player and he is technically alive. And so I think both of those different reasons for Kanye to endorse Herschel Walker remain true. Raphael Warnock, not a big fan of this endorsement considering what Kanye West and Herschel Walker have been up to recently. Here's what he had to say about it.
They recently received an endorsement from someone who spews awful anti-Semitic words and who said that slavery is a choice. Well, my mama told me that birds of a feather flock together. You know who he is based on the company that he keeps. Do you want somebody who's going to divide us or somebody who's going to bring us together? That's the work that I'm committed to doing.
That's a great point. Although I do think it's a little bit weird that he didn't specifically say Kanye West. I'm not sure exactly why he didn't say that. But anyway, that's the endorsement that Kanye West has chosen to make. Raphael Warnock rightly pointing out just a couple of the absolutely horrendously anti-Semitic things that Kanye West has said just in the past couple of weeks. Brett, what do you think?
I mean, I love pro-life. It's amateur life. This is amateur life. This is what is happening. This is exactly people. This really exposes the internal right-wing hypocrisy when they say that people need to just shut up and dribble. Because they'll tell people who don't agree with them to stay in their lane and not veer into politics. But as soon as someone veers into politics and agrees with them, at least in certain ways, 100% hugs and kisses all the way. So the right wing is absolutely embracing Kanye's weird break from reality. And I just feel like Raphael Warnock, who seems like the most decent man in America, is just pointing out that there's something wrong with the way that they're behaving. Yeah. And it's not good for any of us. And I think the central challenge for people on the left, for anyone who is reasonable, is that, you know, in a world where network news and cable news is losing its power, it's so hard to get people's attention or convey importance anymore. If you're reasonable, you can only get attention and convey importance by being the craziest. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see, and that's what has been embraced by Fox News, and people like Tucker Carlson have seen the consequences of not being crazy. And so they just lean into it at every turn, leaving us to be the adults. And then they call us elitist because we're like, you know, those people are should not be anywhere near power, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and you can see from their past that they grasp that. Tucker Carlson was awful when he was younger, but he was not like he is now. Just 2 years ago, he wasn't nearly as conspiratorial. He clearly took a month. He went bass fishing and he was really just watching Alex Jones and figuring out lessons for what he could learn from that style of presentation, the crazy laughs you can do, and the conspiracies you can spread.
Like, listen, Tucker's dad married the Swanson heir, so that's even one step removed from his like born eliteness. Tucker's dad was the ambassador to the Seychelles. The ambassador to the Seychelles. Yeah. And he's calling other people elitist. He's an island boy.
He hates the ruling class. Boy. That's what it is. He hates the ruling class, which is why he communicates on a daily basis with the former and perhaps future president of the United States every single day. Anyway, with that said, I think it's time for us to get to, we're going to stick in this block. I think, unfortunately, Joe Manchin's going to have to wait until Monday. But for now, why don't we launch into this?
I said it was up to the citizens of Pennsylvania. And of course, but I will tell you all this, if I lived in Pennsylvania, I would have already cast my vote for John Fetterman for many reasons.
So that's a pretty big endorsement sort of for John Fetterman, especially considering that Oprah Winfrey kind of made Dr. Oz. I don't know how many times he was on her show, but it was many times over many years. He became prominent partially as a result of that. But despite that, she can apparently recognize that he is not who she used to think he was, I guess, that he would not be a good pick for senator. And she has thrown her support towards John Fetterman. Brett, what do you think?
I think that Oprah's creation of Dr. Oz is just another little million little pieces moment where she had a book club book that it turned out was based on a lie and was a total grift. Like Dr. Oz is the exact same thing. And I'm happy that she is able to call that out. It's not the first time she's had to do something like that. And she does a daily show where she's just trying to share with people like ways to be happy and things to think about and talk about and open up about. She is a warm, leaderly figure in the public eye. And she's doing what the responsible, warm, leaderly figure would do and should do when they understand they're in the public eye, which is come out on the side of what's reasonable and what actually helps, as opposed to some weird antagonistic attempt for attention, which it seems like so many in the media opt for when given the chance.
Well, John Fetterman, of course, is thrilled to have this high profile endorsement. He tweeted out a welcome to hashtag Team Fetterman, Oprah. Fetterman called her endorsement an honor and privilege, saying she's a leader on so many issues, fighting for our democracy, passing common sense gun reform, and ensuring racial justice. I'm grateful for Oprah's support and trust on the issues that matter to people across the country in Pennsylvania as we close out this campaign. Dr. Oz has not responded. I am not expecting much of a response from him. I will say, though, that as we cruise towards the final days of this race, there's like a lot of polling that seems to indicate that that debate didn't really have an effect. There's a few that imply that the race might be a little bit closer. My final assumption launching into the midterms is that this is basically a coin flip at this point. And a lot of what is going to determine the way that this race goes is baked into many of these races. It's how accurate has the polling actually been? How significant have the shifts in these past couple of weeks been? The races are just so close, but I would remind you, as we tried to remind people during our Fall Guys tournament yesterday, that if you have not yet voted, first of all, that's weird. You watch a political show every day. Why are you not voting? But also get out there and vote and encourage others to vote, especially in areas where you can just mail it in and stuff like that. But if you can help get people out there, if you can encourage them to participate. I know a lot of people have been driven out of politics by how terrible things have been over the past few years, but your vote still does matter. The stakes are as high as they've ever been. So please take part in these elections. Brett, what do you think?
I agree that people should vote. And if they haven't, if they can't think of who to vote for me. I'm running for everything.
There are good voter guides. If you don't know some of your local elections, ballot initiatives and things like that, I would look into it. By the way, looking into other races is also Oprah Winfrey, who says that the Fetterman-Oz one isn't the only race that matters. I'm sure she would prefer to not be focused on too much in regards to Oz's past. She says, if I was in North Carolina, Sherry Beasley there. If I was in Florida, I'd be supporting Val Demings. If I was in Wisconsin, it'd be Mandela Barnes. In Nevada, it's Cortez Masto. Beto O'Rourke in Texas, Raphael Warnock, Stacey Abrams. These are basically, I guess, the people you would expect. I don't think that she would be like a big, like she's for John Fetterman, but then like believes Stacey Abrams should be driven out of politics. These make sense, I think. But anyway, I know she has a big following. Her pressuring people probably is more significant than a lot of individuals. So I'm glad that she's using that power here. Anyway, with that said, that's all the time we have for our first hour of the show. I'm gonna respond to a few of your comments during this last minute. Gina J, the introvert's been with us for 30 months on Twitch. Introvert Dragon, thank you so much for being with us. Doodly Llama's been here for 3 months. Because I Just Did for 7. Egypt for 28, thank you. Injustifiable's been here for 22 months. Lynn Ann for 19 says, two baby dragons and starting on a third, yay. How exciting is that? Aww. Thank you for that. Dragon Goddess 420's been here for 15 months, thank you. Not Another Bean Stain for 19. I look forward to the day every month when I get to read your name again. Anyway, with that said, that's all the time we have. So if you're on the podcast, by the way, if you're especially on Apple Podcasts, consider rating and reviewing the podcast. Super important for discoverability. But regardless, if you're on other platforms, Twitch and YouTube, the members app, things like that, we've got a lot more news to talk about, including Fox News mocking Elon Musk's Twitter plans. And we will, of course, be throwing away our garbage people of the week, which you're not going to want to miss. Brett Ehrlich and I will be back in just a few.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.